Luke chapter 1, verse 34, and then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be? I do not know a man." And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that the Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God." Verse number 37, "For with God nothing will be impossible." That's a great place to say amen on a Sunday morning. Luke chapter 2, verse number 8, continues the Christmas story. Matter of fact, if you have a practice of reading the Christmas story at your home, or if you've ever been in theatrical moments where the Christmas story is read, usually both sections of text that I'm reading from today are included within the whole. Verse 8 says this in chapter 2, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, to which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.'" I'd like to share this morning on the subject of take cover. Take cover. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your presence, and thank you, Father, for the privilege of being able to share your word and to worship you in liberty and in freedom. And God, I just pray that today you would give me a special grace to share your word, and special unction even, that Lord, you would just provoke your people to take their next step in you. Lord, let it be done in Jesus' name. This church said, amen. You know, most of us understand that the Bible is all about redemption. From cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible tells the story and the availability of redemption for all mankind. But I've discovered that there is an underlying theme in the Bible. And just in the same way that redemption shows up in the Christmas story, just like every other story in Scripture, this subject that I want to share with you this morning does the same. And as I think about this subject, it actually becomes somewhat amazing to me how many times it arrives in Scripture at the forefront, but yet we tend to overlook it. What I want to talk to you about this morning is the covering of God. From page to page, cover to cover, the Bible itself references that God desires to give His people and to provide for His people a covering. Many times, this theme is so central to Scripture that even when something is being referred to in the physical in regards to a covering, it has a spiritual significance. Matter of fact, God is so engaged in the subject of covering that in the beginning of creation, before He has even created mankind, the Bible says that God chooses to cover the earth with His presence. Once He does make mankind and He has created Adam and Eve in His image, we discover that the moment that they sin, they messed up. And the first awareness that they had of their sin was the fact that they no longer sensed covering. It was only at that moment that they recognized, "We are naked, we are without clothes." But it was something that happened in regards to separation between humanity and heaven, between God and man, that then caused them to feel as though they weren't covered. Up to that point, that is the level with which God covered them, to the point that they didn't even recognize that they did not have physical clothes on their body. You move forward in Scripture, and Noah built an ark, and we know that he did that because the world was filled with wickedness, and God realized he was going to have to reboot things, if you will. And so God sent a flood, and only Noah and his family was saved. And what we discover is that Noah gets off the boat. He gets off the ark. And the first thing he does is commit a sin. Scripture tells us it was the sin of drunkenness. And the way that he was discovered was without clothes, completely uncovered. So the first sin in the Garden of Eden is associated with man losing his covering. God floods the earth to try to get things started afresh, and the first sin is associated with man losing his covering. There's a man in the book of Genesis, his name is Joseph, and it's really in his life that we begin to see how much the enemy really is after our covering. He's his father's favorite son. His dad gives him a coat of many colors, and his brothers become jealous of him, and the way that they lash out against him is to take him and throw him into a pit. But in doing so, they ripped his robe from his body. They ripped the coat of many colors. They took his covering from him and then use it to lie to his father about his well-being. Joseph got back on his feet, though. He ultimately winds up in a guy's house by the name of Potiphar. He becomes the chief of that household, and then Potiphar's wife tries to have an affair with him, and Joseph does what he should do. He runs off, but she grabs hold of his robe, and she takes his covering from him, and then she uses that in a court of law to falsely accuse him, and he winds up in prison. Over and over and over again in Scripture, you see it coming into play that God gives man a covering and the enemy comes and tries to take that covering away. It even happens in the life of Jesus. It happens on the cross. It would be one thing if the enemy were to pluck the beard from Jesus' face. Another thing to put a crown of thorns on his head. Another thing to beat him beyond recognition, to pull every joint out of socket as Psalm 22 would refer to put nails in his hands and nails in his feet. But that wasn't enough for the enemy. The enemy also had to have his covering. And Scripture actually tells us that Roman soldiers are found at the foot of the cross gambling over who would take Jesus' robe, who would take his covering. You know, when I think about covering, I think about warmth. I think about security. I think about safety. Often, when there's some type of an airstrike. You've all seen it in the movies. Take cover! Meaning, if I can get to a place that will cover me, this attack will not have an effect on me. We've also seen it where it's the, hey, you go over there and I'll cover you. There's some kind of security, some kind of safety that's associated with the concept of covering. And I think we all would be of the understanding today that the enemy comes to steal, he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. But here's the thing, he can't steal, he can't kill, and he can't destroy if you're on the other side of God's covering for your life. And that's the reason that he hates your covering. Beyond that, we discover that Scripture actually goes as far as to tell us that there's something specific about the enemy in relation to his own covering. It's in Job chapter 26, verse number 6. It says, the underworld, in other words, hell, is naked in God's presence. The place of destruction is uncovered. The enemy does not have a place to find warmth. The enemy does not have a place to take cover. The enemy does not have a way to hide. He doesn't have a strong tower. He doesn't have a refuge. And so the only way he knows how to take cover is to try to take your cover. But there is only one way that you can get outside of the covering of God, and that is if you choose to do so. For so long as you choose to put God first in your life, I have discovered that God will cover what he conceives. You see, the concept of covering, it shows up vividly in the story of Christmas. In fact, we discover in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, that the angel answered Mary when she was told that she was going to have a child in a heavenly way. And she says, how's this going to happen? And the Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Tell your neighbor, cover you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. And so what God is saying to Mary is, I'm about to do something in you so that I can do something through you, and it will be conceived by the work of the Holy Spirit. And while this thing is in process, I'm going to make sure that I cover what I conceive. And I will cover you by overshadowing you with the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's interesting that the angel chose to tell Mary that she would be overshadowed with the covering of God, because the most prolific text in the entire Bible on the subject of God's covering is in Psalm chapter 91, and it specifically says that there are some things associated with the shadow of God covering His people. Psalm 91 reads like this. Says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 4, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your left hand, and 10,000 may fall at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh thy dwelling. Verse 10, for no evil shall befall you, nor any plague shall come near you, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Slap somebody a high five and tell them, take cover. Come on, look at somebody else with a little bit of unction in your belly and tell them, take cover. Why would you choose to isolate yourself from the covering of God? Because when you get yourself under the covering of God, He becomes like your shield. He becomes like your fortress, because He gives you something more than the warm and fuzzies. When you come under God's covering, He gives you a hedge of protection, and it becomes like a force field around your life, and the enemy can only come so far as God tells him that he's allowed to come. And when you get under the covering of God, all hell can be breaking out around you. And you can stand there and say, 1,000 fell at my left hand and 10,000 fall at my right hand. But I got grace that's sufficient. I got peace that passeth understanding, because the weapons of my warfare are not carnal through man's hands, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Because I'm blessed when I come in and I'm blessed when I go out, because it ain't got nothing to do with me. It is about Jesus. It is all about Jesus. And it will always be about Jesus. You ought to tell somebody, take cover. Take cover. You have to understand that what God seems to imply with the story of Mary is that He will cover anything He conceives. And so when you choose to invite Jesus Christ to live in your life, that happens through the work of the Holy Spirit. You become born again. You become a new creature in Christ Jesus. And with that comes a benefit package. A covering doesn't mean nothing will ever go wrong. Doesn't mean no one will form a weapon. It just means the weapon in the end cannot prosper. It doesn't mean you'll never go through a test. You'll never go through a trial. It just means that you've got one who will be the author and the finisher of your faith, and turn that test into a testimony, and turn that mess into a message if you'll just stay in the covering. And so what happens is, You can't overlook the way that God talks to Mary. She's told that she's going to do something that she doesn't know how she's going to do. She's told that she's going to do something that is impossible by man's standards. And she actually says, I don't know a man. And God says, and she says, how? Because I don't know a man. And God says, the Holy Ghost. Just so you know, that's your answer for everything you don't know how to do. The Holy Ghost. I wake up most days, look myself in the mirror, and realize I have no clue what I'm doing. It would have been a great place to probably say amen, because I know some of you said it in the shadows. The largest church that I was ever a part of was 50 people. And now today, I have the privilege to get to lead something that is that is doing something of significance. And I find myself so many times thinking, how are we going to pay for this? How are we going to reach all these people? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? And I find like anxiety trying to creep into my life. But then I realize, wait a second, God did not say that Eric would build his church or that a staff would build his church. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And when you start focusing on that for a minute, you realize, wait a second, God's got this thing covered. And the same thing goes for your family and for your situation. And when your pencil and your calculator can't figure it out, and when your mind cannot possibly fathom what the next step is going to be, you got to remember there's a God that says, when I cover it, I'll use the foolish things to confound the wise. And when I cover it, I'll use the weak things to confound the mighty. And when I cover it, I'll break every bar and eye of iron that set it asunder and make the crooked places straight. Right. Tell somebody, take cover. God says, I'll come on your life and I'll overshadow you. I'll overshadow you. In other words, he gets the glory and he gets the credit. Because when the covering of God shows up, rarely can coincidence steal the credit. Because it becomes unexplainable. How did 1,000 fall at their left hand and 10,000 fall at their right hand, and yet they're still standing? How did pestilence wipe out everything and then they're still standing? How did arrows strike everything in their neighborhood and yet they're still, how are they still? See, when we watch the news in this modern era, it can create a lot of anxiety. I find myself, I'm a news junkie. I constantly am refreshing my feed and finding out what else has happened. And I feel anxiety sometimes, especially when you take in news from different angles and you pull it from this side and you pull it from that side, and then you realize the truth somewhere in between and you realize this is pretty bad. And you start to think, wow, what kind of world is my kids going to grow up in? What kind of world is my grandkids going to grow up in? Like, where's this thing going to be in 25 years, 10 years, 5 years, next year? Where's all of this headed? And you can start to feel so insecure. You can start to feel so unsafe. You can start to feel so exposed, like the enemy is just ripping away at every side of your life. And then you remember that if I will dwell in the secret place of the Most High, I shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And if I put myself in that place, He's got me covered. Come on, tell somebody, take cover. Take cover. So I've been thinking about this subject of covering and praying over my kids every day of their life. It's such a habit in our household that my kids won't hardly get in a car and ride with somebody until we have a moment. You're covered. In Jesus' name. My son gets ready to run on a football field. I'm not saying nothing will ever happen to my child, but I grab him. Whoa, you come here a minute, boy. In Jesus' name, covered. I just want to believe God for covering. And I've been thinking about how this thing of covering just runs through Scripture. I mean, it's just interwoven, Scripture after Scripture, passage after passage, analogy after analogy. It's just all through there. And then I start thinking about the Christmas story. And yeah, God told Mary, I'm going to cover what I conceive. I'm going to bring this thing to fruition. I'm going to see it come to pass. But then the baby's born. And that's where things get really interesting when it comes to the subject of a covering. Because an angel shows up and starts talking to shepherds. And here's what the Bible says the angels told the shepherds. Luke 2:12. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the infant wrapped in swaddling clothes This shall be a sign to you. You shall find the infant covered and laid in a manger. But how is that a sign? I mean, don't we cover every baby? Don't we wrap every child when it's born? How is this a sign? Well, what takes it to a greater level of specificity is that it says that it would be in a manger. And there are some that believe that these shepherds were a specific group of shepherds. We don't know for sure, but we do know that round about the hillsides of Jerusalem, there were shepherds who were specifically assigned to do nothing but raise sheep who would then be sacrificed in the temple for the sins of the people. And some believe that that may have been this group of shepherds. And here's why. Because if you were a shepherd from that group, as your flock was giving birth to baby lambs, you were to find the firstborn lamb. Finding the firstborn lamb, you were to then take that lamb, make sure he was without spot, make sure he was without blemish, and then you were to take strips of cloth, swaddling clothes, and wrap that lamb tightly so that he could not move any part of his extremities for fear that he would fall in his infancy and bring spot or blemish. He would then be taken and laid in a trough as a sign to the flock and the shepherds, this is the lamb that will give its life for the sins of the people. So when they're told to look for a sign, there were some shepherds who understood that sign specifically. And when they show up and they see in a stable, here is a lamb sent from heaven that is wrapped in strips of cloth and laid in a manger. It's a sign to God's people that this is the lamb that's going to take away the sins of the world. This is the lamb that's going to give birth for God's grace to cover the earth. And as they come to the music, it's here that I want to draw your attention to something. Because I think there's something deeper. I've preached this message now 3 times this morning. I was telling Hunter on the way over, maybe the 3rd time's the charm. Because I didn't see this the first 2 times I preached it. Would you hand me one of those blankets there, Pastor Evan? Thank you so much. You see, when the Bible says that Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes, the direct translation of that is that he was wrapped in strips of clothes. Strips of cloth. It meant that cloths that had been ripped, that had been torn, that had been shredded, were used to wrap Jesus. And I think there's some pretty powerful symbolism there. Because there's a lot of us that know what it is to have our covering ripped to shreds. Sometimes by our own foolishness, by our own bad decisions. Other times we come under attack, we didn't understand the attack, we got scared, we let the enemy have a little more territory than he should have had. We know what it's like, many of us, to wrestle with addiction, to wrestle with offense, to wrestle with the things that can sometimes get a hold of that covering and just begin to rip and tear and tear and tear. And it was on the drive over from the last service that I began to think about how, isn't it something that when God sent his son, he said, I can even make a covering out of the stuff that's been torn up and the stuff that's been cast to the side and show that I got a boy who I've sent from heaven to earth that has the ability to put it all back together again. And do you understand why they put baby Jesus in those swaddling clothes? was to protect him, to wrap him. Torn up stuff was transformed into a protective wrapping even over Jesus. Jesus ultimately would give up his covering at the cross. And I believe he did that so that you and I can know what it is to be overshadowed by the presence of God. That we can know what it is to be wrapped in the presence of God and loved by the arms of God. But I had this Bible in my hands, and I was having my morning devotion a few days ago, and it's a Friday morning, a week ago, Friday morning. I was reading through the Christmas story, and I was just asking God to speak to me personally and maybe reveal something to me that he would ask for the congregation, that he'd want the congregation to hear. And I don't know, I just started reading through Luke chapter 2, and I just started to kind of see it in a way I'd never seen it before. And I started to think about, if we lean into this subject of covering, like how many people are there out there during a Christmas season that do just feel uncovered? That just feel like life has stripped them and they don't feel the warmth spiritually, and they don't feel secure and they don't feel safe. And if we're honest, they're just going through a lot of battles in their life. And I started thinking about how that Jesus has said that if we would do it unto the least, we would do it unto him. He said that in regards to, he said, if there's somebody naked, clothe them, and you've done it unto me. He said, if there's somebody hungry, feed them, and you've done it unto me. He said, if there's a prisoner, visit them, and you've done it unto me. James, Jesus' brother, comes on, writes his own epistle, and tells us, and if you really want to take this to the next level, pure and undefiled religion is to do all those things for widows and orphans. And I just began to think about how that in Russell, Adair, and Taylor County alone, there are over 500 patients in nursing homes. And I started thinking about how many times when people reach that stage of their life, undoubtedly they feel alone. Now, some have great support systems, and I'm sure it's different, but there are many that just probably in that season of their life feel uncovered, feel alone, feel neglected, feel like, I don't have a warmth. I don't feel secure. I don't feel safe. And I thought, what would it be if Three Trees took it upon itself to become some people with some swaddling clothes who would take little more than a blanket and be able to pray over that blanket and say, we're going to visit every single nursing home room in Russell, Adair, and Taylor counties and just lay a blanket of swaddling clothes on somebody that might feel uncovered, might feel neglected, and might just need to be reminded that what's happening in the physical can happen in the spiritual, and that in the same way this blanket is going to wrap your natural body, there is a God who can wrap your soul and wrap you up with a love and a peace and a joy that is unspeakable and passes understanding. And so this morning, That's what we're believing for as a church. We're going to find a way to do this in an organized way. We've got staff that are already working on the logistics, but by faith, we've already bought 500 blankets. And we're, as a church, throughout the services, we've been inviting ministry team members to come down and just as a point of contact, lay hands on these blankets. And I'm going to ask right now if you guys across Columbia, Russell Springs, both locations, stand with me to your feet. And as you do so, I want the ministry team members at both locations to come and just lay your hands on these blankets. And let's just pray that they're going to find the right patient, that they're going to find the right room, that there's going to be a favor that's going to be associated with this to be able to facilitate this and to be able to just wrap somebody in the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. We'll